It's been a great morning. Well, it seems like a long time since I've been up here preaching. It hasn't really been a long time. It's only been 3 weeks, really. 3 weeks ago, some of you may remember, we talked about the spiritual and scriptural debate that the American colonists had over the political issue of whether God's word allowed revolution against the king. Y'all remember that on the Sunday before July the 4th? And then, going back in time again, if you want to, or if you will with me, does anyone remember back on June the 4th, spent some time looking at the parable that Jesus told comparing the kingdom of heaven to a man who found a treasure in a field. Y'all remember that story? Talking about that? And we kind of chuckled about how weird, how quaint that was, how strange that was, how unlikely that sounded that someone would actually find a treasure in a field. You remember that? Did anybody see this story from just a couple of weeks ago? What is going on here? Did I kill it? All right. Yeah, you have to wait on your sermon for just a second here. It's been so long that I've forgotten how to use this thing. Right, JJ? It's not as easy as you might think. They put the self-destruct button right next to the advance button. You know what I'm talking about. All right, here we go. There. Did anybody see this story from just a couple of weeks ago? Kentucky man digs up an insane treasure trove. 700 Civil War coins in his farm, on his farm. Y'all saw this? Here's the video of the guy digging. Okay, watch this.
This is the most insane thing ever. Those are all $1 gold coins. $20 gold coins. $10 gold coins. And look, I'm still digging them out. There's one. Two, three, four, five, six. Six more gold coins. This is real.
Okay, we don't often bleep things out. But man, this is crazy. This is crazy. This actually happened just a couple of weeks ago. Now, apparently he found it on his own property. And so that makes it a little bit different than the story that Jesus told where the finder had to sell all that he had so he could buy that piece of property so that he could get the treasure. Y'all remember that? But they don't really know where these coins came from. The speculation is that the owner back in the Civil War times had gotten news of an advancing Confederate army into the neutral state of Kentucky, and he buried his coins to keep them safe. And then he never came back. And so they laid there for 160 years until this guy happened to find him. And it's going to be worth millions to him. It's amazing. And y'all thought Jesus made up all this stuff and it doesn't have any meaning in today's world, right? No, Jesus' stuff is still relevant today. Okay, so what are you ready for today? Actually, what I have for us today isn't really something new. It's more of a look back and an apology. We'll get to that in a minute. But way back 2022, May 15th to be exact, some of you will remember, we spent the Sunday talking about the reasons for and the benefits that accrue to an organization like a church when it has a short, succinct purpose statement or mission statement or reason for being statement. And one of the main benefits that it helps the members to focus on things that matter instead of getting distracted, and being, they're then less likely to be distracted by and things that are just not part of the mission. Here, as a reminder, this is the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ purpose statement that we rolled out that day. Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is a family learning to speak God's words and live His grace. As Walter prayed this morning, I hope y'all were listening, Walter prayed that we would be able to live His grace so the family will grow. Y'all remember that? Bethany includes it on the email that goes out every week, which I hope you're reading. Some of you probably are. And thank you for reading it. I wish all of you would. It's on our homepage on the website in a beautiful scroll as it comes across. And let me stop once again and thank anyone and everyone who works on our website, because it is a first-class website. It really is. And it's not just for visitors. You can find information there if you want to. If you want to go take a look at it as members. The purpose statement is also displayed on our Tammany Oaks public Facebook page. And so it's out there in all the places that modern travelers of the internet can see. And thus they can learn something that's kind of important about us before they ever walk through our doors. The words of God are significant to the people who call Tammany Oaks Church of Christ their home. Learning those words, learning what they mean. We want to have those words pouring over us. We want to have our hearts marinating in those words. But not just for the purpose of gaining some knowledge. Our desire is that the words of God will become our language. The words of God will infiltrate our vocabulary so that when we speak, we're going to find ourselves speaking the language of God. Another piece of important information that somebody checking out our cyber footprint will find out about us from our purpose statement is that maybe the most important word that we have found in God's language is grace. Right? Grace. In fact, that word is so important that it's our earnest desire to, as Walter prayed, live His grace. It's not enough for us to just talk a good game about grace. We want to live it inside the building and especially outside the building. And the reason we want to learn and speak and live God's grace is so that we can grow. Growth is important to us. Because when an organization, a body, grows, it lives and it thrives. When we stop growing, individually and as a church, then we start dying. And Jesus tells us that God is a God of the living, not the dead. So it's important for us to keep growing. Another thing somebody will find out or figure out about us as we say, look at our purpose statement, is that we know we have not arrived yet. We don't know all there is to know about God's language, about God's words yet. We don't know. And we haven't totally figured out yet how to live His grace. We are learning. We're learning. In fact, the truth is that all of us are children still. When it comes to this, there's so much learning, so much growing still to do. I hope we recognize that. And now for the apology that I mentioned. So when I introduced this purpose statement back in May of 2022, I mentioned that the idea of a purpose statement is not to fully and completely document every belief and every doctrine and every aspect of the church, but to essentially boil all of it down into a short statement that people can remember, that the church can easily say together, it can even be memorized. Easily grasped, easily understood, easily remembered was what I said back then. And then for the next couple of weeks after we rolled that out in May of 2022, we started every sermon by everybody standing up and reciting this. Y'all remember that? We stood up and recited it out loud. And we did that for several weeks. And then we stopped. Or should I say, I stopped. I stopped bringing it up. Stop showing it. Stop saying it. Stop talking about it. That was a mistake. And I am sorry. One of the things I specifically mentioned in that sermon back in May of 2022 was the great benefit of having the purpose statement is that it tends to help keep the purpose, the mission of the church in our focus, rather than being distracted by things that don't further the mission. And in a diverse community like we have here, it is not difficult to lose focus. Not difficult to lose focus on the mission, on the purpose. Start paying attention to things that lead to disruption and disharmony and disunity. And so I apologize for not helping us stay purpose-focused as much as I should have over the last 12 months. But maybe it's not too late. Maybe it's not too late for us to refocus again starting now. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go back over everything we talked about that day, back in May of 2022. I'd say, you can go back to the website and listen to that sermon again. Except we haven't quite got that far back yet in posting those old sermons. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. We haven't quite got that far back yet. But for the next few minutes today, I'd like for us to just look at one section of this purpose statement that I realize now that I didn't do a good job unpacking for us back then. Can you guess which part? And if you said all of it, you'd probably be right. And thank you for your support. But actually, the part I'm thinking about is this part right here. Family. Beverly loves to talk about how I wish we wouldn't call ourselves a church of Christ. We call ourselves a family of Christ. That's a pretty good idea, actually. Family is a really, really important part of God's Word that we're trying to learn here, right? When I went back and reviewed what I had said about family in that sermon back in May of 2022, I see that I talked a little bit about the importance of family. But I don't think I dug very deep there. I don't think I dug deep on that point at all. Looks like I kind of made a passing reference to the fact that despite our diversity, we're all one in Christ. I cited this verse here. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Then I just kind of concluded by saying, we're a family, which means love, joyful welcome, and acceptance. And all that is true. It was back then, it's still true today. But it didn't really say enough. Because what is probably stronger than my conclusory statements about family are the real experiences of family that each of us have actually lived. for some. The idea of family is not a particularly great idea. The word family doesn't necessarily conjure up images of peace and love and joyful acceptance and welcome and peace and security and good food and long conversations around the table. Maybe your experience of family is more like this family. Anyone recognize these guys and girls? Oh, sure. It looks like there's lots of love and joyful welcome and acceptance in that family. But for those of us who actually know this family, there's a lot of actually deep distrust, deep danger lurking behind those smiling faces. Amen? Y'all remember that? Is that the kind of family we're trying to be here at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ? Is this what we're trying to entice people to be a part of? Should this be posted on our website? Well, part of our difficulty is the fact that the Corleone kind of family, maybe without all the murder and stuff, but still with all that distrust and lack of forgiveness and lack of love, seem to be much more common these days than this family. Anybody remember this family? Some of you old folks do, I know. Waltons, John Boy, and all that. That was a great family, wasn't it? Great family. But before I go off on a rant about how things have gotten so rotten in our modern world, in our modern America, I got to tell you that we have precious few examples of great families on display among God's people. God's people in the Bible. There's very few great families in the Bible. Tough families, difficult families, dysfunctional families are mostly what we see in the Bible. They've been around from the very beginning, haven't they? It's not just a modern thing of America, is it? I saw a post the other day from a preacher friend of mine on Facebook. And he said, in Luke 15, when Jesus started telling this tale that we know of as the prodigal son, and he started with these words. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The post went on to say that the listeners immediately knew that there was going to be conflict coming up in this story. How did they know that? Because of this. Go all the way back. Cain and Abel, anyone remember them? Isaac and Ishmael, remember them? Jacob and Esau, remember them? Joseph and all of his brothers? David and all of his brothers? Solomon and all of his brothers? And that's just kind of the beginning of the list. Well, you say, at least we can look at the family of Jesus and his family, right? No. No. Jesus' brothers and sisters, it's implied, but they didn't believe in him. They mocked him. They may have even thought that he was crazy. Look in Mark chapter 3. It's a little hard to tell there. Translations may not be really good. But there's a hint, at least, that they thought Jesus was crazy. One of the very few examples of a good family that I could find here in the Bible. And it's just two verses. Is the family of Philip the Evangelist and his four daughters who followed in his footsteps and were preachers. That's in Acts 21, verses 8 and 9. But we don't like to talk about that story. We don't like to talk about that because it messes with how we think of what we think we know about how the church is supposed to work. It doesn't fit the narrative, so we just kind of ignore it. Anyway, the point is, it's not easy to find a perfect family to use as a model for what our church family ought to look like and ought to sound like and ought to speak like. And to the extent that I made it seem pretty easy to be a family when I rolled out the purpose statement, let me apologize again. The truth is, it is incredibly difficult to be a good family in a blood family where we all have the same DNA, where we all have the same environment. It's hard to be a good family there. It's more difficult to be a good church family, where there is so much diversity in our backgrounds, in our knowledge, in our maturity, just to name a few. Being a good church family, as God intends for us to be, doesn't just happen by showing up on Sunday morning for a few minutes. It's work. It is hard work. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about it in Ephesians. I'm in prison because I belong to the Lord. Therefore, I urge you who have been chosen by God to live up to the life to which God called you. Always be humble, gentle, and patient, accepting each other in love. You are joined together with peace through the Spirit. So make every effort to continue together in this way. Make every effort. Efforting, as we like to say in the 21st century instead of work. Make every effort. This has nothing to do with your salvation. Okay? Can we get that? Can everybody get that? This work has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not. That work was done by Jesus, okay? We got nothing to do with that. We all on the same page there? But the work that has to be done is the work that makes us into a family as God intends us to be. Who do you think Paul is talking to here? He's going through all of this. Who's supposed to be doing the efforting? Who's supposed to be doing the work to maintain unity? The children of the congregation? And when I say children, I'm talking about physical and spiritual children. You think he's talking about the ones who have, by mistake, by lack of wisdom, by negligence, have caused some offense to be taken, have caused a rift, have caused disruption of peace and unity? You think that's who he's talking to? Actually, no. He's talking to the ones who have been offended, who have suffered somehow the ill effects of a mistake that's been made. It's up to them to make the effort, to make every effort to somehow restore the peace and the unity and the love that's been disrupted. That's who he's talking to. And when, not if, but when this happens in our church, can you guess what some of the options are not? Some of the options you do not have? Well, let me suggest to you that we do not have the option of not being gentle. May I suggest to you, we do not have the option of not being patient. May I suggest to you that we do not have the option of not accepting each other. May I suggest to you that we do not have the option of not loving each other. May I suggest to you we do not have the option of not being at peace each other. All of those things, of course, are options in organizations in which the Holy Spirit is not in charge. Like at your office, at your work, at your school. We see it all the time in those places, don't we? And it's terrible. Those things that I said are not options are, of course, always options in many physical families. And many of us have seen the terrible results that happened there, haven't we? And why do we see those terrible results in families and in organizations and schools and work where the Holy Spirit is not in charge? Because all of those things that I said are not options are the easy thing to do. They're the easy thing to do. That's the way we're wired to react when somebody has hurt us in some way. We're wired to not be gentle, to not be at peace, to not love, to not accept. That's easy. Spirit, speaking through Paul, says that that kind of behavior, that kind of response to offenses, real or perceived, it's not an option in the church. It's not. We think having options is always a good thing. Sometimes it's better to have no options than to have to think about. And not have to make a decision over. Sometimes it's better that the decision is already made for us, as it has been here. The Spirit says that we, as a church, have no option when it comes to accepting each other in love. The Spirit didn't say this is going to be easy. And it's probably impossible without the Spirit's help. I know it's impossible without embracing the one thing that I left out of this list a minute ago. Where is it? Oh, that word there. Be humble. Oh, like I said, it's not easy. Not easy to put other people ahead of old number one, is it? Especially when they don't deserve it. Especially when they haven't earned it. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes coming to church with your spiritual work gloves on. Okay. You get my point. And as usual, I'm preaching to myself up here. Okay? If any of you have gotten a word out of this, great. But there's a lot in this. But I got to tell you, none of it makes the slightest bit of difference if the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ isn't the church that God intends for us to be. If the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is not the kind of family that accepts each other in love. And I am so thankful for those of you who keep on showing me the way. Okay? So what I'd like for us to do is, as we get ready to sing our song, let's stand and say this together, and then we'll have our song. Okay? So say it with me, y'all. The Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is a family learning to speak God's word and learning His grace to the family who will grow. Amen. Thank you.